kids today just play hide and go seek. I don't know how my kids play hide and go seek in the house in the 1,600 square foot ranch. We used to play across 2 yards, kick the can. But hide and go seek is fun. And as the Lord, I read this passage, say, why are you bringing up hide and go seek? Genesis chapter 3, Adam's played hide and go seek. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you. Once again, just thank you to know that you hear us and that you answer us. Lord, that is comforting. That is encouraging. That makes me want to bring more things to you. Lord, forgive me for trying to handle situations on my own. Lord, as we come to you now in your word, I pray that you'd help us to identify ourselves in this passage, take some inventory in our own life, and Lord, maybe make some adjustments. Lord, we love you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
How's your relationship with the Lord? How would you measure it? There's no numerical value. I don't know if many people know this, but I really enjoy board games. Kind of a little side hobby that I have. I haven't been playing board games for very long, but I greatly enjoy them. We'll spend hours playing maybe one game, and it's a lot of fun, interaction with others, and it's just a fun time. I greatly enjoy that. And there's a website that I follow. I hate to even say it, Board Game Geek. I mean, that's where I live, all right? And they rate just about every game. And every game has a rating based on expert rating, based on reviewer ratings. And your relationship with God doesn't, you don't log into a website and, hey, where am I at today? Ooh, 3.4 out of 5. Or, 7 out of 10. It's not like that. I wish there was a numerical measure, or maybe I wouldn't. But how's your relationship with God? Say, well, I'm here tonight. That's true, and that's great. Brother Rice said, what better place to be on a Wednesday night than in the house of the Lord? Here we have in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, and the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, where art thou? And I ask you that question tonight. Where are you? Where are you at? Ready or not, here I come. Where are you? Where are you in relationship with God? Adam was hiding. In verse 1, it says in that same chapter, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? Hey, by verse 8 and 9, they're hiding. What made them hide? Are they playing a game? Is your relationship with the Lord but a game? In verse 2, the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Is that true? Yes. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. The first audible words that we see here spoken ever is Satan tempting the word of God. 6,000 years later has not changed. For God, the Bible says in verse 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, is that not sin? Does not sin look so enticing? pleasant to the eyes. Oh, this is going to be exactly what I looked for. This is, and it even uses the word to desire, indicating to me lust. To be desired to make one wise. She took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. A familiar story. Everybody knows the story of Adam and Eve. How's your relationship with God? Is it like Adam and Eve? Hiding due to sin? There's literally two people in the world. The entire world is hiding from the presence of God. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. He was afraid to be in the presence of God. For what purpose? Because of his sin. How's your relationship with the Lord? Is it one of hiding? Look at Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Do you see what it says there in verse 13? He that covereth his sins. Immediately following the sin of Adam and Eve, well, Adam, later on in the book of Romans, we're told that she was deceived and he chose. But what did he immediately do? He went and he sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Why? They wanted to, as the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, they wanted to cover their sins. The Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. How's your relationship with the Lord tonight? Covering anything up? Anything hidden? Anything masked by, you know that there's no hidden places with God? Go with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3 tonight. We love John chapter 3, right? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For God so loved the world, it says in verse 16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life, meaning without expiration. Man, praise the Lord for the eternal life. I'll tell you something that doesn't have eternal life. Green salsa. Found that out this week. Opened it up in the fridge. Green salsa turns to pink salsa when it goes bad. There you are. Thankful for eternal life. No expiration date. Isn't that a blessing? Verse 19, though. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why on earth would man love darkness rather than light? The Bible tells us, because their deeds are evil. Why would you want to hide in the shadows? Why are you trying to hide from the presence of God? Same reason John chapter 3 is in Genesis chapter 3. Because of evil. Because of sin. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Why would I come close to God? He will reveal to me. How's your relationship with the Lord tonight? Are you hiding amongst the trees? Are you hiding behind a hand-sewn apron as to cover our sin? But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. God has made a way to make us clean. There's no need to hide. There's no need to make aprons. There's no need to stay in the shadows. No, we can expose ourselves in the light to God because He made a way to make us clean. Praise the Lord for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. But I'm going to ask you tonight, how's your relationship with God? Do you understand that the sin of Genesis chapter 3 directly impacted the relationship between man and God? And that is no different today. Say, oh, that was the age of, and we can talk dispensations. They transferred from the age of innocence to the age of conscience now, and now it's different, but we are under the age of grace. Sin still is a problem. And if we desire to hide our sin and hide behind that sin and cover it up and make it look real nice, our relationship will be directly affected. They didn't even want a fellowship with God. He's walking through the garden. I don't know what that looks like or how that happened or all the logistics. Again, I hope when we get to heaven, they could replay it and we could see how it all went. We got time. We can watch the whole thing play out. I don't know how it happened, but there he was. The Bible says, walking in the cool of the garden, calling out to his friends, Adam and Eve, "Where art thou?" I wonder if he's calling out to you by name. "Where art thou?" Just hiding, not in his presence because of your shame of sin. Where are you tonight? What's your rating? How's your relationship? Go to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Verse 1. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Hudson, what do you know about Zacchaeus? He was short. One of my favorite characters in the Bible. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. It's so hard to say these words and not sing the tune. How's your relationship tonight? Number one, are you hiding like Adam in your sin? Or number two, are you like Zacchaeus, just trying to get to Jesus? Zacchaeus, the little guy, and there he was in the crowd, and he couldn't see over the crowd. Totally understand. And so what did he do? He got himself and he climbed up in the sycamore tree because he just wanted to see Jesus. Look at Psalm 119 tonight. Are you looking for Christ? Adam was trying to hide from Christ. Zacchaeus, even though he was a sinner, was in search of Christ. Oh, the difference. Psalm 119, verse 2, it says, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart." Look at verse 10. "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Is your testimony one of, "I just want to get closer to Christ"? Not because I got it all figured out. I'm just looking for Christ. I'm looking for Christ in my life. Look at Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. Proverbs 8, 17. "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early," the Bible says, "shall find me." You know what Zacchaeus found when he went looking for Jesus? Jesus. Do you know what you'll find when you go looking for truth and seeking after righteousness? Truth and righteousness. How's your relationship? Are you like Adam and trying to hide? Or are you like Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus had some problems. Zacchaeus didn't have it all figured out, but he knew where to go. And he was just trying to get as close as possible to Christ. Two very different approaches. Thirdly, we'll look at King David, 2 Samuel chapter 11. Three characters tonight: Adam, Zacchaeus, and David. 2 Samuel chapter 11. In verse 1, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle. In 2 Samuel, anybody know who the king was? Isaiah or David? You both were right. And the Bible says here, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, where should King David be? In battle. That David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. You know what happens when David wasn't where he was supposed to be? The lust of his flesh takes over and kills a man, and how's your relationship with the Lord? When you should be in battle, are you just sitting by the sidelines? King David should have been with the soldiers. But he said, you know what? I'm going to sit this one out. I'm going to go wait over here. I'm going to send Joab to go do my work. Joab was more than qualified. But the Bible clearly says that the king should have been in the battle. You know what, Christian? It clearly tells us that we ought to be in the battle. To some degree, nowhere in the Scriptures do we see, all right, I'm out, you go. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at some of these verses. How's your relationship with the Lord? Are you hiding in your sin, or are you looking for Christ? Number 3, are you sitting by the sidelines or are you in the battle? Galatians 5 and verse 13, it says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." We are called to service. If you see a man walking through maybe McDonald's or something like that, or in the mall, and they have the blue hat with a veteran on it. If you're a respectful person, you'll stop that person and say, "Thank you for your service." Are you sitting by the sidelines or are you in the service? By love, serve one another. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Where are you tonight? Are you like Adam, sewing up aprons, trying to cover things up? Or are you like Zacchaeus, trying to get up high and just find and get close to Christ? As the battle is going on, have you enlisted and taken your part and gone in? Or have you withdrawn yourself and said, you know what, let's let somebody else take this one? You saw what happened when David did. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto sitting around and doing nothing." That's not what it says. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Because of salvation. See, this isn't a salvation passage. Two verses before it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship." In response to salvation, we ought to be doing some good works on behalf of Jesus Christ. We ought to be serving Christ. You'll get yourself in trouble if you're sitting on the sidelines, because we've all been called into service. If it's a fight for you to serve, your relationship is struggling. Let's look at our last verse, Luke chapter 14. Luke 14. In verse 23, and the Lord said unto the servants, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. This is no time to sit on the sidelines and let someone else do the work of God. This is a spiritual battle. We combat these things spiritually with godliness, with righteousness, with prayer, with a relationship with God Himself. Say, we need to take up arms. Your gun means nothing. It's useless. It's useless. Say, are you anti-gun? I have guns. I like shooting them. I like blowing things up, but you want to tap into some real power, the power of God? You want to fight the real battle? You think you're going to stop the enemy with a gun? You think you're going to change this world with a sword? Hey, Peter, put that thing away, man. Come here, let me put that ear back on the side of your head. That's not this battle. This battle is spiritual. This battle will only be won on our knees. This battle will only be won by the power of God, by the power of the gospel. I can almost say this. We could go sell all of our guns and weapons, turn that into gospel tracts and Bibles, and it will have a larger impact. And I'm pro-gun. I'm not saying we get rid of our guns. I'm just saying, in comparatively speaking, this is a spiritual battle. And if we're trying to fight a spiritual battle physically, we've lost. Well, if anyone tries to take our Bibles, I'm going to shoot them. And that's not the fight. The fight is going into the highways and hedges and compelling them to come in and sharing the gospel, the incredible changing power of the blood of Christ. That's what's needed. Are we sitting by the sidelines when we should be in the battle? How's your relationship tonight? As the Lord said to Adam, where art thou? Where are you at tonight? You hiding in the dark shadows? Or are you like Zacchaeus, up on top, looking for Christ as best as you possibly can? I just need to get to Jesus. And in doing so, are we bringing others with us? Where art thou tonight? Let's all stand. It's a good reminder to us that we were born heading in the wrong direction. You know that, right? Thank the Lord that I just want to say one more thing, one last line, and I want you to hear it. A right relationship is just one right decision away. A right relationship is just one right decision away. Stop hiding, stop trying to cover, and find a sycamore tree and try and get to Christ. Get up off the seat and get in the battle. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, I pray you'd help us. Help us to see what this really is all about. Lord, we need you. I know I need you. God, we come to you humbly. Lord, give us your power, give us your wisdom, give us your spirit and character. Lord, thank you for the changes and the grace and the mercy that you've made in our life. Lord, I pray that we would show that towards others, that we would be compelled to serve you wholeheartedly. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you again for hearing our prayers. Thank you for answering us. I can't just get over that. Lord, protect us as we travel home now, and I pray this all in Jesus' name.